This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Conversation is now about business and doing business under COVID-19. As I've indicated earlier on, I'd love to hear from business people, entrepreneurs, if you own a business, if you manage a business as well. How has this particular period been for you and running the business during COVID-19, if you were allowed to operate, and even if you were not allowed to operate, the difficulties there? I know of a number of people who have complained and saying that, for instance, getting access to the grants that have been made available by the state through the 500 billion rand stimulus package, getting the facilities that have been made available through the banks, also guaranteed by the state, getting access to grants that are also made available, and getting access even to the UIF's TERS application and program. Some people to date are still waiting for a payment. Are there any solutions that are available? And what are those solutions that are available? That's the conversation that we'll be having now with Sthembi Somjalo, who's the CEO of Wenzile Consulting. And any guidance that you may need, I think Wenzile will be able to assist you. So 0619870000. You can also tweet at Aldrin Simpierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Good morning, Sthembi Somjalo, and welcome.
Good morning, Aldrin. How are you doing?
We hang in there. Yes. Sometimes it gets rough, but we have to.
I was listening earlier. It was really rough.
Yeah. No, that's how these things do get. Quickly, before we get into the conversation about how businesses are operating during this particular period, quickly tell us about Wenzile.
Wenzile is a group of companies that I happen to be the CEO of. We do three things. We do construction work, we do IT related work, and then we do business consulting work.
Yeah,
which I think it's what we'll be concentrating on this morning. And business consulting, not because it's better than the other divisions, but when you're a businessman, you get to learn that your business is going through different seasons. Mm. And then when the construction is not doing well, then there's a huge demand of this consulting part. And it has been like that since there was a hint and a rumor about fourth industrial revolution. Companies started to see that they need to integrate services. They need to make sure that they're thinking ahead. But at the same time, they don't have the skill internally to be able to prepare them. Therefore, they will need to acquire some skills in the form of consulting and then be able to move forward like that. So that's where we come in, and we do the complete turnaround, be it finance, HR, and strategy, including access to market and access to finances. So we do the whole Kenti solution in terms of business consulting. So we are very privileged to have been running this type of business because we have access to many clients. For example, in our company, on average, we have 100 clients that we interact with per week. Now, you can imagine how better off we are in terms of networking, in terms of knowing how to do matchmaking, in terms of knowing, for example, other people are going to be closing shop now because of the pandemic impact, but they were not supposed to. If they knew that there's Altrain or Usbusiso or Notsepo on the other side that are doing things that they can either offload their assets to or give them their contracts to continue because maybe their cost of running business is too high, then they can close before they are sequestrated. Because once you go through sequestration, you need to wait for 10 years before you come back and rehabilitate it. It's a long and tedious process. So there could be various ways. So you could still move your contract to somebody to execute it while you are actually getting a fee for that. You get the point. And negotiate with companies to say, I'm sitting my contract, I'm doing this. So there are a lot of things that we do. It's not just to say you need, sometimes turnaround means closing down. Let's face it.
And I think that is it. That is it. And that for some people, when they think about turnaround, they mean, or how they understand, interpret it as well, is that turnaround means that I need to turn around my business. The business still exists and the business must still exist. And that's the reason behind the turnaround.
Precisely. One of the things that I had a debate with my friends in business was this thing of acquiring exorbitant, expensive offices. I questioned that many years ago and I said, no, I won't do that. We shouldn't be doing that. But there was this thing that if you have an office that has got a gym, that has got what, there are certain companies in terms of size and capacity that can afford to do that. But you need to know which level you are at so that you don't overexpose yourself in terms of financial risk and then you end up closing down. So that was one of the things that we had an issue with. Another issue that was always been that was always coming was that we wanted to do one thing and one thing only. And fourth industrial revolution was bringing a concept of convergence, where you find one company that was doing consulting in one area now is doing consulting in different areas.
Yeah.
Or you find a company that was doing one thing in the value chain, now it's integrating, is doing more than one thing. We've seen that in many companies. And instead of us adjusting to that, we started to attack and criticize it. And yet it was the right thing, including radio stations. Some radio stations, they hold on to say, I'm just a radio station. I don't want to play a bigger part in terms of having maybe a YouTube channel or a social media platform that is strong. And that was a mistake. Today, we are forced to consider that. So not having a foresight is the biggest problem. So you must have a vision. That's very important. And number two, I think what also was a problem with us was that not only that we didn't have a vision, some of us, when I say us, I mean in the business community, we had the vision, but we're not confident. You know, we're not...
Is it that you were not bold enough or that you were more consumed by the fear of the unknown?
I think we are not bold enough because of our past and how we are groomed. You see, as a black child, you are taught... through fear. You are not taught through the world of possibilities. So even when we start companies, it's a big issue. Like coming here and sit here and be on air, it's a big issue. Now you're going to talk to thousands of people out there. Yes. Why? They are all my customers. Yes, I'm a global player. Sometimes you must just stick it out, take it out there and then fail and come back and regroup and do it again.
Yeah.
Or you must just get out of the game. Business is not for the faint-hearted ones.
That's such a hard reality and something to digest because
no, it is.
Also the because social conversation is around well, we must also have businesses. We must encourage people to be entrepreneurs and so forth and so forth. And then we forget that actually not everyone is made to become a business person. And they're not inclined to be a business person or to run a business. They're okay with managing a business. They're okay working for a business, but not necessarily be the owner of that business.
Running a business is a calling. Serious calling, just like being a politician or just being a clergy or a man of the cloth, is a calling. So you are over and above the skills and talent sets you have, you've got to have this drive. You remember those days of our that thing you know, that thing. You need to have that thing that makes you when you're disappointed to wake up tomorrow and say, I messed up yesterday. You dust yourself, you do it again. When you don't feel good, you still do good. when you don't feel the strength, but you still push and take chances. I don't know about other people. I didn't have a good background to start business, but call me a chance taker.
Yeah.
I don't know what else can I say. Mm. If you are not willing to take the chance, then you are not fit for business.
Yeah. 0619870000. You can also tweet at Elder and St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at Power FM 987. We're in conversation with the CEO of Wenzile Consulting, that is Stembiso Mjali. We're taking your calls and your tweets as well. He would be able to guide you. I'd really love if there's like one person who calls in and says that I business, yeah, I mean, it's rough. And then Stembiso then comes in and there is that guidance that happens on air, and we must then do a follow-up.
Correct.
We must then do a follow-up.
Correct.
Lerato, good morning.
Hi, how are you all doing?
Good, good. How are you doing, Lerato?
I'm good, thanks. I just want to maybe get some advice from your guest there. I'm an entrepreneur and I've been one for a while, and you know, the hustle never ends. You find different opportunities and things to look into. So initially when I started a hospitality business, and it had its ups and downs, but then eventually I went into something that I was more skilled in, which was a fashion and textile business. And then I went into, when I saw another opportunity of something I could do, because sometimes I'm that type of person. If someone says, can you do it? If I can, well, sure. If it's money and I can do it and I can do well at it, because that's my personality. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So if I can do it well, I'll do it. But the thing is that you find that when you maybe networking and you find people ask you, what do? It's difficult to kind of, and maybe this is my experience as a female entrepreneur, where you judged quite harshly. People will be like, you know, these Joburg girls that just do everything, jack of all trades, master of whatever,
of none.
You know, so, yeah. And, you know, you never know how to kind of present yourself. I mean, you do these elements and you do them well, but they're not really linked. I mean, you're diversifying, but then you're not diversifying in one streamlined form of business. You're doing various other businesses, which you think, you know, I mean, if you've got the time and you think you've got the capacity to actually handle it, you will push. And I mean, even before COVID, I would always have this discussion with some other female entrepreneurs where, you know, sometimes you perceive as a chicken head, because it's like, this girl is all over the place. She doesn't know what she wants to do.
Lerato, and, at some point, I must interject, eh? otherwise, it'll make it difficult for me, because you're saying so many things and I've got so much to say, but go ahead and finish, maybe.
Yeah, so I just feel like, you know, I think it's, you know, even before COVID, I've always been one to, because I could see how it was in other markets, in your US or the UK, where one form of income just wasn't sufficing. You just needed more than one.
Yeah.
And, you know, COVID has kind of made it more acceptable, but I just feel like, you know, this is now during COVID, and yes, it's probably going to be for the next couple of years, but I just wanted to get advice from your guest, because I heard him mention he does IT consulting.
Yes.
How best to present yourself as an entrepreneur who does various businesses, and then you're sitting in the room with maybe deal makers, and then they say, what do? How do you pick from a crop of three or four when people are just going to think, you don't even know what you do? So many things. Give me one.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, Lerato.
Sure. I listen on the radio.
Okay, cool. Sure. I think Lerato must, number one, realize that she's got a very good attribute to be in business.
Mm.
You see, she's been talking and flowing, we've been listening.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't struggle to pitch and to talk. So she can pitch and do a serious sales talk and close a deal. That's her strength. So she needs to write that one down. Number two, she needs to understand that in a room where there are business decision makers, you don't go there to sell your business. You go there to network. Two different things.
Mm.
Because if I'm going there to sell a business, then it must be a polished idea. I must have done my research that this person needs this, and then this is how I'm going to do it. That's the only time you can do that.
Mm.
Outside of that, you network. When you are networking, it's when you get to someone and then you make sure that you do or say one or two things that will make that particular person give you their contact and remember you when you call.
Mm. So in the case of Lerato, who does multiple things, does she then need to take a pause and then look at what would be the most impressionable thing to say about what it is that I do instead of going through the entire list.
Exactly. Because and she does things that are that will forever be in demand. For example, hospitality. If she continues with hospitality, she's likely to succeed. If she continues with textile and fashion, she's likely to succeed. For example, now we are putting the mask, the cloth mask. It's part of textile and fashion industry. The putting all the gown and all the COVID PPEs, they need textile. The hospitals and the clinics, they need sheets, the curtains and everything. So she should take it to another level. So she should find a mentor and find a coach so that she's able to focus. Other than that, sometimes having options can work to your disadvantage.
Why?
Because options brings an element of confusion and it brings an element of feeling, what is the word? Taking your time, because it takes away that hunger that you need to have. You know, but if you know this is the only opportunity I have, this is what I can do and nothing else, then your drive is different.
Yeah, that's the thing that spurs you on, that this is the only thing
exactly.
that I'm focused.
Okay, exactly.
Is it Shariz? Good morning.
Good morning.
Or is it Charles?
Yes, good morning, Aldrin. How are
you? Good morning. How are you doing?
And good morning to the gentleman over there. I'm just going to be quick. Aldrin, I'm running a business, a salon. And this COVID has affected us directly and it's bad. So my worry now, where I'm renting at a complex, I've told them that I want out because the damage has been done and it's huge. And coming back also, I'll be sinking in. So now I need advice because I'm less than a year on my lease. So I want out. They're disagreeing with that. I still have to be liable for the remaining year of my lease. Unless if there's someone who take over the shop, then that's it. But besides that, I'll be reliable. So I need advice. What can I do? Because I know my business. If I continue with the lease and running that business there, I'm not going to survive. I'm going to see. So I went out and I've already sent them an email last month, but they're not budging in. So I don't know. What advice can you give me? What my rights are on this? Yes.
All right, I am not a lawyer, but I'm sure, Charles, I can give you some few advice. Advice number one is that make sure that your business is protected. Make sure that you claim your UIF for your employees. Make sure that you engage with DSBD for the interventions that are out there with the government. Make sure you do that. That is the first thing. Secondly, your landlord is in the same situation as you are. So they'll try to pin you down as much as possible. So it's either you don't, if I were you, I would go with a relationship approach and beg and negotiate and ask nicely. And then failure which I would go to, there's this thing called a legal aid. You must go to legal aid. There's a team of lawyers there and try to seek for legal advice. Because even in the contract, if the conditions have changed, this is a national disaster. So what is the position of the law when it comes to that? You know, you need to find that out. Because you may find that there's a way out, but the landlord will take advantage of your ignorance or of you not knowing what is the way out. So I'm not a lawyer, but I think it's a legal matter. Go seek for legal advice. And I'm saying legal aid purely because I think it's going to be free or cheaper.
Sure. But then why would you say, Charles, would you want to close down if we know that there would be a need for grooming?
Another thing. Firstly, on this year, on this first quarter, the business was not good at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So with this, it has made it more difficult. Okay. So I can see in the near future, I'll be having a problem. Unless if I get a smaller space or a much lesser place to rent. Because the rental there is...
Exactly. I think you send a good chance, Charles, to survive. If you can get out there and then start again from scratch. Do you know how to do the hairdressing yourself?
I am in charge. I also there. I'm hands on.
You're hands on. That's even better.
You are hands on hair. because I can't wait for it, Charles.
No. Altran has a chiscope, Charles. Don't worry. He has a chiscope.
Well, so because of circumstances. No, hey, man, no. Fading in Mandela, but now, unfortunately, I can't have that.
He's got a bald hair, so don't worry. There's no business here. So what I suggest you do is that you put everything down and then you go do house calls.
Mm.
Start doing house calls. Make sure the loyal customers to you, you call on them and then you engage on them. They understand your situation and you even take down your prices and say, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to give you 10% discount. I'll make sure I sanitize. Can we do it at your garage? So when you come to my house, you don't enter my house where my children will be compromised, and then you do it at the garage. So these are the fine prints that you can look into so that you survive.
Not a bad idea at all. Zamani, good morning.
So, Adrian, what's up?
Good. How's it, Zaman?
I'm great, man. And I would like to say that in any business, if you don't reinvent yourself according to what is happening around the society, I don't normally call myself an entrepreneur. I call myself a social entrepreneur, an entrepreneur with a community-based mind. What I'm saying is that prior to COVID-19, it was business as usual. And then now, pre-COVID-19 and in COVID-19, it's not business as usual. If you can reinvent yourself to be in the lines of COVID-19, one thing I can promise you that business and life will never be the same after this COVID-19.
Correct.
What I've done, I've moved myself because I'm a manufacturer. Mm-hmm. I moved myself to manufacture what you call a human sanitizer tunnel.
Oh, yes. I see that one, yeah. The one you walk through and then it sprays you.
It senses and it sprays you. Mine is advanced because once you enter it, it senses you, it sprays you. When you go outside, it stops.
Oh, so it's not continuous like the other ones?
No, it's not continuous. Mine is a sensor. When you get in, it senses you, it sprays you. Mm. When you come out that side, it stops.
Okay.
Hey, niyasebenza, Zamani.
So, Zamani, what are you saying, my brother? You say we need to reinvent ourselves, or you are asking a question?
I'm saying let's put the entrepreneurs and the social entrepreneurs that are out there to say that let's encourage each other to reinvent ourselves and promote our business amongst ourselves as black businesses, because I'm seeing a lack in South African businesses, especially South Africans, where we don't support ourselves. I'm telling you what I'm telling you now, that I've invented this. You'll find that you'll buy this, what I'm doing, I've manufactured it myself. You'll buy it at your shops or at your Chinese shop and then think that it comes from China, while you can come to my workshop and see me doing it from scratch.
Actually, when we come back, we're going to go to Power News Headlines. We're going to go to Power News Headlines. When we come back, the conversation about, for instance, so you come up with this new innovation, but how do you market it? Because somebody needs to know that there is this product that is out there and this product is available. It's 11:30, time for Power News Headlines.
Speak up. Call the Power Line on 0861-987-000.
And you can also tweet at Aldrin Sampier, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. The conversation we're currently having is doing business during COVID-19 and some of the concerns that you have, probably advice that you need as we move into this new economy, but also some pressing issues right now in terms of funding. There was a tweet that I saw earlier on. Somebody says that one of the most painful things, oh, here it is, Ngeba, who says that one of the most disheartening things is to lay off employees you have built relations with over the years. Even their families have become your family, but now times are tough for the business and people have to be laid off. No support at all. Let's go back to Zamani. So Zamani has invented this box that you walk through, or what do you call it?
Sanitizer.
Yes, the sanitizing unit that you walk through, which senses when there is somebody in there, which is quite different to, I think it's the one that's being used with the BRT, where it just sprays continuously. But how do you market that? How do you market yourself? How do you market your innovation or your
Zamani is good at what he does. He's good at innovating. He must stay there.
then he must acquire skills of consultants like us that are going to have a headache of taking this thing to the market and that are going to make sure that it is relevant in terms of price, it is relevant in terms of design, it's talking to the market. There are a few things. Somebody once said there are three things that will make you succeed in business. Number one is for you to do things better than others, which I think he has achieved very well.
Yeah.
Uzamani, because he's able to invent and do things that are sensing. Number two is to make things faster. So is his production able to do things faster and quicker to get it out there in the market? And then number three, he must then be cheap or be cost effective. So if he can get people that are going to market this thing for him, the better. So if he wants to hook up with us later, we'll leave our email address and contact details. He must do that, and then obviously it's going to cost him. Mm-hmm. But he can also negotiate. You only get your money after you have brought the sale.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people out there, we have strategies out there that are tested and proven that are going to work. That's why there's a Wenzele Consulting.
Okay. Emmanuel, good morning.
Morning. How are you, Aldrin?
Good.
I just need advice or clarity, especially with your guests in the studio. Maybe you can share the light.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm running a business, so when the state president announced the relief fund for small businesses in the form of loans through the banks, that it sounds very, very good and encouraging for us as businesses, especially when we are in good standing. So I approached my my banker. Obviously, he knows my books, how they're standing. I'm in good standing. I meet the criteria. She emailed me the form to apply. Now, line 8 on the form is the issue of surety. They say the directors must stand surety. If you don't stand surety, you'll be declined. So now, when the president announced, he said the government, via National Treasury, they'll stand surety. Or unless if I didn't understand it correctly.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to Stembiso to respond to that. In the meantime, Kagiso, good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How do you do?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Hi, Kagiso.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good, man. My comment was that I wanted to say to Charles that under the circumstances of COVID-19, what he can actually do is he can raise a force majeure against this contract, and he should be able to cancel it.
What does that mean?
It's an impossibility to perform under a contract, because if you are obligated under a contract and then something that is not your fault, or they call it an act of God. Yes. If it happens, then it's not your fault. You can't prevent it. They can't prevent it. It's there.
Yeah.
That's the first.
So can you then use that to terminate the contract?
Yes, actually you can.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, thank you so much for that advice, Kagiso. I hope that Charles got that, eh?
Charles, you got the advice for free. That's power to you right there.
Indeed, on Power Talk.
Okay.
And then Emmanuel's call.
Yes, what was he asking about?
Emmanuel's call was in terms of standing surety.
Oh, yes. Oh, of course. It's very disappointing, I must say. You are not the only first one, Emmanuel. Our banks, they seem to give us forms that are just written COVID and then the rest remains the same, like it was yesterday.
But when I spoke to, to one of the banks with regards to that, they said they've been told by the state that they must use the same criteria that they ordinarily use to give out loans. Okay. So that's the reason that you will get a form like that.
Yes, but the announcement by the president was saying that the government will stand surety. Okay. And I was under the impression that even if I am not in good standing, I should get the loan because the whole idea here is developmental and is to preserve jobs. So that was the understanding at the initial stage. But it looks like the banks, they do your ICT checks, credit checks. They do all sorts of things on you, which I think makes it a bit difficult. So I'm not working for the bank.
Yeah.
I'm not a specialist there. But one thing I can say is that when that has happened, try to approach places like state organs, like your CIFA, CIDA, NEF, IDC. Maybe they may have conditions that are not as harsh and as tight as those that the banks, the commercial banks are offering. But I stand to be corrected. But he's better off trying rather than just saying, okay, my banker said this. And another thing, he needs to also look at reinventing himself. Like, what is that loan for? Is it for product? Is it for paying salaries? And then if it's for paying salaries, then we can help him to through the TERS program, and then he's able to survive, which is governed by the UIF coffers. Or if it's about getting product, then he can negotiate with the suppliers, or find somebody, or find bridging finance, or find somebody that is going to make him deliver and then get a small portion of the project. So there are many ways. As long as you have the customer, there's no reason for you not to make it.
Actually, on the opportunity corner with the loan raise, which we normally have on Mondays, one of the things that he touched on was in such a situation where as the as the business owner or as the company, being able to go to your supplier, negotiate with your supplier and say that due to what's currently happening, I'm unable to pay upfront. However, though, can you give me product so that I continue doing business and then I can pay you back?
Exactly.
Instead of getting the money.
Or you can do a session with a client and explain to your client, I am tight. I don't have the money, but my supplier is willing to give it to me without me paying upfront. Then they pay the supplier. Then the supplier pays you your profit. So I repeat, when you have...
Okay, explain that again.
Session works like this.
Session?
Yes. You've got a PO, purchase order from Department of Health.
Okay.
To buy masks. And I am selling masks. Mm-hmm. And then I'm saying to you, I want 10 million now. You don't have the 10 million. Then you can go to the department or any other customer. And then you say to them, I have a supplier. You have given me the purchase order. There's my profit. Here's everything. There's the price. I want the supplier that when I deliver, you pay the supplier. And then the supplier pays me the difference, which would have been my profit. So if you have done that, then you don't have to have issues of surety.
Sure. Wow. Matunjo, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
Yes, sir.
Baba Tina, yabola Dandi, we're running a bakery. Yabo Mount General, no small business. Isn't there? Apply charges as a shoe. We operating, and we're doing things. The calling a minimum cool. Yeah, from oversighting a woman, which is in YSAEF. So we started e business. Or NF or Italia, yabona Italia, it was. Baba Teluchi. I'm a former lahegi, anyway, changing. It's a big headache. Kahle kahle wona sithe into engifuna ukuyibuza ukuthi yini le kwenzile ukuthi wena uqale i-business wena ngabe wena. And ukhulume enye into eyokuthi thina siyasaba kaningi. The fear of unknown. Uma ubhekile, that fear of unknown ingaqedwa yini kahle kahle kithi thina bantu ukuthi siqale i-business. Yini engayenza ukuthi iphele that fear, because isasekhona that thing if you check. Unamanje into ehlala ikhona, kodwa kufanele ukuthi kufike kuleli position ukuthi kumele ukuthi iphele, sizithembe thina.
Ngiyabonga. Okay, thank you, Matunjo.
You see, Umatunjwa should have given me a memo to say he was going to ask a difficult question. Then we're not going to allow him to ask. Because he's asking me, what made me to start the business? It's the passion, the love, and I just love making a difference. I don't know what to be any other thing except that. And then money comes later. I love money, or maybe money loves me. I see it following me everywhere I go. But I love making a difference.
When you can say that money knows me.
Money is another animal that knows where to go.
Yeah.
So that's number one. So money loves following me. But I just saw that when I was working, at some point I was an IT technician in telecom. I would visit businesses to install, we used to install DigiNets, and at some point we're installing switchboards. I could see monies. I could see the lifestyle people are living and in turning seats and air condition. And I said, no, man, I want to own this.
Yeah.
So many things that attributed to that. But number two, the question was that, what is it that one can do to get rid of the fear? There are a number of things. One, you must just not have a choice. For example, if you are against the wall, your back is against the wall and there's a lion coming, something must happen. So you have this called a flight and fright hormone.
Yeah. We actually had a call earlier on. I think the line got dropped.
Okay.
But the person was speaking about being currently employed and wants to go into business, because I think it also speaks to that fear of the unknown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, again, I wouldn't say you must go to business without planning. If you are employed and then you want to go to business, then you must make sure that your customer base and your product is secured, then you can jump.
Yeah. Okay. Entley on Twitter, please ask your host, or your guest rather, how do I spread my business of career guidance and helping engineers to register professionally? I've tried lots of financial institutions, but no luck.
So he wants to groom and mentor engineers.
Yeah, I think she currently does that, but she wants to run it as a business.
Of course. Then she must make the people pay. You start with the people that you are mentoring now. You must make them pay. And then number two, you go to companies. You can imagine a company like Transnet. How many engineers are there? Then if you can be able to go and then negotiate a deal with Transnet to say, I will be mentoring your people, I'll be training them, and then you start to find a program, that will also help.
Mm. How do you even get that the foot in?
Then that's why you have companies.
Because even Wenzile
Consulting. They must just send an email to Wenzile.
Do you know what just happened there in that particular moment? Is and this is, I think, what a lot of people are guilty of, including those who are business inclined, is that you think of a problem, but your solution to the problem, you only think of how can I solve the problem.
Correct.
Instead of saying, is there anyone else out there who can help me solve the problem?
Exactly. That's why we're here. That's exactly why we're here, and other companies out there. Let me give an example. There are companies that can help. There's a program called Job Readiness Program. The fact that I'm an engineer, it doesn't mean that I've got all the other soft skills in terms of being ready for the job and adapting to the culture and all those things. She can do that. She can start with a program like that. She can get it registered with SITA, and then she can start growing.
Okay. Sibabato, good morning.
Yes, good morning. To your guest.
Hi, Sibabato.
Yes. I'm an entrepreneur who's been running a business for a while.
Sure.
But now I have a business idea that will help me to diversify. But now my worry is, I'm afraid to share it or discuss it with other people because I'm afraid that they'll steal it. But at the same time, I need to speak to somebody who can coach me, guide me, and help me set it up.
I will charge you. If you talk to me, I will charge you.
Something that you, yes.
I will charge you. I'll invoice you, but it will work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And going to earlier on, you said that if the pockets are not deep enough at the moment.
No. We can even negotiate. I can end up being the business partner. I can do it pro bono. And then if I believe in it and I see it can work, it fits into my vision, then I can be a partner and then even co-fund it.
Okay.
I'm a businessman.
I think you just got a partner. So, I'm going to put you back to the producers, get your contact details, and then we'll share it with Usthembiso.
Sure.
The importance of that as well. That, because, guys, there are just gems that are falling everywhere. The importance of that. Wuthi, when somebody has an idea, being bold enough, this is, of course, after having done your own due diligence, being bold enough to say that, actually, this is something that I think that I can invest in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it?
How do you get there? Because, again, it's the issue around the taking the risk.
You see the potential.
Yeah. Mm.
And also, I believe in the inner voice. There are times when I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm thinking about a business idea. I'm thinking about a particular meeting. The more I think about it, the more I become either uncomfortable or I get some comfort or some peace. Then I know that this is worth pursuing.
Okay. Matimba, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Adrian?
Sure, Matimba.
And your guest.
Yes, hi, Matimba.
Yes, how are you, sir?
Sharp, how's it?
Sharp. Every time I talk to businessmen such as yourself, I get comfort that I'm going to be made that big someday.
Of course.
I'd like to ask, by profession, I'm an architect, and I'm also into construction myself.
Sure.
But now I've discovered a market in the rural area of property, commercial property leasing. I can say property business.
Like developing the property.
Developing, yes.
Correct.
Yes, thank you. So I've got one of the big retail shops that want me to, if I can have a, like maybe in the Garfields and all those rural areas where they don't have shops. If I can have a space and with certain documentation, they can be able to come and lease from me.
Yes.
So that's the route that I want to go, because I'm able to design, I'm able to do construction myself, and I also want to go into security as well, so that I can have my own guys to secure the place in terms of security.
So what's your question?
The question is, I'm struggling to find finance. If I can come up with a business plan, I don't know who should I approach.
I'm here, Matimba. Okay. So after the show, make sure you contact me. We will hook you up. We'll get you going. I'll charge you though. I'll invoice you.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I'll be a partner. We will both own that shopping mall you want to build.
Not fine.
Okay, sure. Matimba,
I'll put you back to
Ubanyan. Freddy on Twitter said, I'd like to hear what your guest thoughts are on the notion that we are all in business, everyone. We are just not socialized that way. And then he has the SLA equals employment contract, invoice equals salary slip payment, salary and IT equals PAYE. I don't know if that is pay as you earn.
Yeah, it is. So what's the question?
I don't know. Your thoughts on that formula that we are all in business, everyone.
We are all in business. It depends which side of the business. For example, this is a capitalist state whereby all the factors of production are owned by individual or private companies.
Mm.
And then that by itself produces either you're the owner or you're the employee.
Mm.
So we are all in business, correct? Yeah. But you are not all business people.
Yes, actually.
You can be in business as an employee, not necessarily as a businessman or entrepreneur. Mm.
I actually heard someone once say that even as an employee, one thing that you should consider yourself is think of yourself as a business, that I am providing a service.
Correct.
To the business that employs me.
Which is a good training ground.
Yeah.
In terms of ethics, discipline, in order to move forward and start your own business.
Okay. 0619870000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Jacinto also says that he has an idea that he'd like to share with you. So Jacinto, just make sure that you open up your DMs, and then just send me your details via DMs, and then I'll share them with Usthembiso.
Sure.
And then another, where's this now? Where's this tweet? Okay. Akani saying that I agree with the businessman on power with Alden. He advised one of the salon owners who is at loggerheads with his landlord because of rent and moving out to consider negotiating moving out in good faith. Get a small place or start doing in-house calls. So let's just quickly go back to UIF. In terms of the services that you're providing, how exactly is it that you're able to assist customers or clients?
Peace of mind. We help you from registering, that registering process of UIF, your pays you earn, your tax and everything, so that you are able to also declare your employees. Because some people, they do apply and then they don't get paid because their employees are not declared. And then some people, they don't fill complete the spreadsheet correctly. And then when they are to migrate it into the CSV file, something goes wrong there. Mm. Now, the challenge is that once things go wrong there, it takes long for you to find out.
Mm.
Or if you make the follow-up, understandably so, UIF is dealing with thousands and thousands. According to the latest statistics, I was checking it out on the 21st of May, they have paid more than 200,000 companies in excess of 14 billion.
Mm.
So you can imagine if you are there, how many people in the queue are actually trying to get UIF to resolve their queries and stuff. So if you come to a company like me, then you will not do the mistakes that everybody is doing. So you are guaranteed success.
Yeah, because the thing is that other people are encouraged, of course, to go online and do it themselves. But then, as you say, not everybody is inclined that way.
Correct.
For instance, for most people, this would be the first time that we're in such a situation. And even having to apply to the UIF, and now there's the TERS program that is being made available. So you can cut out all of that.
Yes.
By just
coming to my consulting firm, and then we sort you out. And we are able to tell you, this is not right, this is right, fix this, and then we can fix it for you as well.
Yeah.
Because other people, they don't know how to do the whole thing. We can fix it. Others,
what are some of the problems that you've picked up?
Many companies are non-compliant.
Yeah.
In general. They don't have their HR intact. They don't have their finance and statutory intact. That's the problem. Then problem number two, many companies are technically driven and sales driven. They are not administratively driven. So the administration engine is very weak. So they don't know where is what. So that also takes a delay. Number three, I don't know if it's dishonesty or it's not understanding. You've got a company that has got 100 people and then you put the application and then only 30 is paid, then the 70 is not paid because they're not declared. Now you can imagine in one company 30 are paid and the other 70 are not paid. How are you going to explain that to your employees?
And that's actually, a friend of mine has that particular problem as well, where two employees are paid but the rest are not paid, and now it's just cost this whole thing within the company.
You call them Guti Laba, I'm a favorite guy, boss.
As Tembi, so thank you so much for your time. As Tembi Somchali, CEO of Wenzile Consulting, the podcast will be made available, and we'll leave his details with Banyana in case you need those details, and you can tweet them as well, and then I can retweet those details. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.